Good morning. How's everybody this morning? I want to read to you, when I was taking some of my seminary courses, Bob, you know all about this. They teach you how to do exegesis, to pull out what's in the scripture. Now, let's see if we can figure out what the psalmist is trying to tell us here. Psalm 47. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Anybody got any idea what they're trying to tell us? I think we're supposed to praise the Lord. That's what, four times in one verse, we're admonished to do that. So let's do that, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we welcome you into this place. We welcome people, Father, many that have not felt safe to get out in a year or so, or beginning to come back and beginning to feel more comfortable. I pray, God, for protection for us. I pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up. We thank you for those, Lord, that are still at home and viewing us, worshiping with us online. And we thank you for those who are right here in this place. May you inhabit our praises, and may the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, church family. Let's stand and worship the Lord together. sun sets free is free indeed, absolutely. That shout on this side of eternity. Can we do that? So let's shout to the Lord on the count of three. One, two, three. Amen. Amen. That's good stuff. Go ahead and be seated, children. It's time for the children's sermon. If you want to join Miss Marlene down front.
More coming. Yay. Excited to see everybody. Huh? You're way fast. Yes, you are way fast. Yes. Yes, y'all are all way fast. Very good. You're fast. All right. Well, I am super excited to see everybody. Are you excited to be here today?
Yeah.
Yay. All right. So, I have... What's this?
Paper.
A blank piece of paper. How many of you like to get blank pieces of paper? Yeah. Blank paper is always so much fun, right? So, because you can do anything you want on here. You can draw a picture. You can write a story. You can fold it. You can make it your creation. So blank paper is amazing. It's wonderful. I love to get blank paper. Well, you can draw. You can draw whatever you want to. And whatever you do with it, it means it's your creation. So remember. So what are some things we like to do on paper?
Draw.
Draw? Paint?
You know when we throw paper into the dump, it gets,
okay.
It gets smashed.
I know. Very good. Okay. Yes. Make origami. So there's lots of things that we can do with a blank sheet of paper, right? So, all right. So we're just going to, so I want you to remember, think about a blank sheet of paper. You like to paint? So think about a blank sheet of paper. And I'm going to tell you that when God created the world, he started with nothing. He started with a blank slate. He started with absolutely nothing. Have you ever thought about that? He did. Did he make anything?
Yeah.
He did. He made everything. God, when God started creating, he made it exactly like he wanted to make it. He put planets in the sky. He put stars out there, billions and billions of stars. And he put the sun and the moon. And he made lions to roar and little bitty kittens that can purr. And he made little bitty ladybugs. And he also made the mosquito, too. I know. And the butterfly. He made everything. He is so creative. Isn't it amazing that everything that he made, he just created it? Isn't that amazing, guys? Yeah. So, God's creativity has no end. But do you know what is God's most amazing creation?
Us.
You're right. God created us so that we could have relationship with him. Okay? So, just a minute. So, God created Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were in the garden. Okay? And God started writing and creating their story. Their life story. Do you have a life story?
Yes,
you do. Every day, God is writing something in your story. Everything we're doing, God's writing in your story. Have you ever thought about that?
No.
Isn't that amazing that God is writing your story? He's creating. When you began as a blank sheet of paper. You began as something plain. But God has continued to write your story in his book of life. Did you know that?
Yes.
Aren't you excited that God writes your story? You know, but God tells us in the Bible some amazing stories that have already been written. And do you know what he's told us about? He's told us about David and Goliath. Aren't we excited that God wrote those stories for us? Yeah. What about Daniel in the lion's den? How about Noah's ark? How about Moses? How about Saul being blinded by the bright light? God used all these people and God's word to tell us stories that we can learn from, because all of these stories help us grow to be what God is calling us to do. So God is using us to do amazing things, and he's taking your blank sheet of paper, your blank life, and he's continuing writing your story. Does your story stop today?
No.
Does it continue tomorrow?
Yeah.
Does it continue next week?
Yeah.
Does it continue next year?
Yeah.
And is God doing amazing things in your life? Are you going to listen to God so you can do it? So you will do those amazing things?
Yeah.
Yes. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. And Lord, I thank you that you are writing our stories and that you are creating and doing and leading us to be amazing and do amazing things for you, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's go this way.
Pretty active little group this morning, huh? While the kids are leaving, I got to tell you, Tandy went out. Joseph Tandy went out, so she'll have to tell her I told this story. Tandy and Joseph Young this morning. They have three little daughters, beautiful little daughters, and they were teaching. If I remember the story correctly, they were teaching some science facts, and they started talking about pasteurization. And they asked the kids, "Do you know who named, you know, who that's named after?" And little Elliot, their youngest, said, "Pastor Jeff." So y'all had no idea just how substantial I was. Love that story. So we're going to spend some time in prayer this morning. Before we do that, I invite you, if you are able, we're going to recite the Apostles' Creed together. Before you do that, just a reminder, this creed, it is dated back to the early centuries, around 300 or so A.D., and Christians have been saying this creed for almost 2,000 years. And there, right now, this morning, all over the world, there's people reciting this creed, and it is the these are some of the things that bind us together, that are non-negotiable things that we believe about God Himself. So, if you would stand, if you are able, as we recite this creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Just, the fact that that is about a 2,000-year-old creed, just a couple of words there. The quick and the dead, just meaning the living and the dead, and that word Catholic meaning universal. This morning, Billy, did you mention about Trevor? Okay. Got a call yesterday morning, and Trevor had an unexpected announcement yesterday. He is now a grandpa. And so, yeah, so Trevor and Angie are, they headed to see this new grandchild. And so Billy had all of 24 hours to prepare for this morning. We appreciate you, Billy. So we celebrate with Trevor and Angie on this new life, and just pray for safe travels for them. Let's just spend a few moments praying and asking the Lord to just whatever's going on in your life. I just, life can sometimes be messy. It's wonderful, but it can also be messy. Relationships are wonderful, but they can also be messy, difficult. So I just invite you just to release whatever is troubling you, anything that is you're struggling with, just to release that to the Lord as we begin. Jesus, you say to us, for all who are weary and burdened, to come to you. And when we come, you give us rest. Rest for our souls and our worries. So we submit all these things to you, O Lord. Things that maybe we're holding on to that there's no way we can control. It may be health issues, as I said, relational issues, marriage issues, financial issues. We come to you, Jesus, because you give us rest. Perhaps it's loss. Perhaps we've lost someone that's very special to us. And we ask you, Lord, that I'm just reminded that your word says that you draw near to the brokenhearted. And you are the Prince of Peace and the God of all comfort. So, Lord, whatever we're clinging to, hanging on to, we release it to you. We also, Father, give thanks for your faithfulness. Your mercy endures forever. You are worthy of our praise. Father, I'm just especially grateful and thankful for this group of people that you have assembled. And we call ourselves Wiley United Methodist Church, but Father, we're really just your children. It is an honor and a pleasure, Father, to do life together. To laugh together, to cry together, to rejoice together, to grieve together. We are your body. We are your bride. And I thank you for placing these people in my life. Father, we trust you. When things are going really awesome, we trust you. When we're struggling, we trust you. Because you are good. You have mapped out, as Carlene said to the children, you are still writing our story. And at the very heart of our story is we are your creation. And we are precious and priceless in your sight. Pray now the prayer that your son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
As we continue to worship, if you have an offering you would like to bring, you can do so at this time. Also, you can give online. Thank you, church, again so much for your faithfulness.
There's revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Once you choose it, you can lose it. And it's beautiful. I got an old church choir singing.
church, I just feel like I need to remind everyone that Jesus is here and he's available. There's been a song that's really ministered to me this last year, a year of difficulty, a year of uncertainty, a year of frustration, physical illness for people, spiritual struggles, emotional struggles. And I believe Jesus wants to use this song to minister to somebody today. He's faithful, church. So faithful, he's someone we can go to.
Thank you.
Well, again, welcome. I want to welcome our live stream audience. Glad that you're with us as well. You know, we've been, as I've said, people are starting to kind of trickle back in. It's a celebration. We've been averaging around still about 80 households that are still doing our live stream service, and we are thankful for that as well. If you are our guest this morning, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you, should be, with a blue stripe that says guest. I would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to fill that out. And at the end of the service, I will be out at this end of the foyer and would love to meet you. And hopefully you would fill out a card and come and meet me, and we can we have a gift for you. There's also a Get Connected card in the seat pocket in front of you with a kind of a black stripe on the top that says Get Connected. And if you've been coming for a while and we still don't have your information and you'd like to be added to our email or any of those sorts of things, please fill that out, and you can leave it in the seat there or bring it to me or bring it to the altar at the end of the service. So turn with me to Psalm 119. Spending a little time in the Psalms today. Psalm 119. Beginning in verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you see, I want to stop for just a second. Do you understand what he's saying here? When we hide God's word in our heart, we just through that we understand, as we're going to be talking about decisions, we understand when something is not pleasing to God, when we have God in our heart, when we have his word in our heart. Verse 12, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and you are welcome here. And we know, as Billy reminded us, that you are here. You are with us. So we now pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I ran across a interesting, it's like a little 20-second video I want you to see. You know, Jesus talks about that we're sheep. In fact, Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. It makes us sheep. I've preached on that before. And he talks about how if he had a flock of 100 sheep and the 99 were doing okay, but this one sheep was lost, he would go in search of the one sheep. So go ahead and show that video. I think you'll find this interesting. Play it again, Lee. That's worth a double take. Now, what I want to know is, I'm scanning this congregation, which one of y'all is this sheep? I mean, I don't know. I see a few of you. And honest people out there in the congregation. He's free. I'm free. Not so much. Oh. Man, sometimes I think God has to have, how much patience does he have to have with us? Yes? Oh, wow. We're continuing the sermon series today, learning to hear God speak. And today's message is four questions for making godly decisions. Sometimes God's word is very clear. I mean, there's certain things in our life that God says, don't do that. I mean, that's not a good thing to do that.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene.
Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher. I don't know if you knew this, but pasteurization was named after me. But anyway. Technology is our friend. Okay, till it doesn't work. Okay, so So there's sometimes I'm trying to, all right, get back inside here. All right. Sometimes God's word is very clear. It says this behavior is not good. This will lead to bad things in your life. And we just understand that God's word is very clear. And sometimes God tells us, hey, do this and you will be blessed. I mean, just so it's sometimes it's just very clear. Sometimes we have decisions to make that are not, I mean, they're kind of morally neutral. It's not really like, hey, this is a bad decision and this is a good decision. It's just like, what do I need to do in this case, Lord? And it could be things like, should I change jobs? I mean, both jobs would be good. It's not necessarily a good or bad thing to go or not. One of the things that, before I start really kind of digging into these questions, one of the things I wanted to point out, Cheryl and I were talking about this yesterday, is I've said that if we surrender to the Lord and he wants us to go to Africa, we're going to be excited about it. Sometimes in those situations, maybe the excitement comes later and we just know that we're supposed to do something in obedience. Maybe the excitement will come. And an example of this, when I was asked to pastor this church, and I hope no one's offended by this, but this is just the way it went down. The church had, this was 20 years ago, the church had gone through a split. It was not an angry split, but it was hard, it was hurtful. And they asked me originally to be an interim, which in my mind I translated it like, you hold down the fort till we get a real preacher in here. I mean, that's how it translated to me. And I had people, I had not necessarily in the church, but I had friends that I had confided in and stuff, and it's like, man, I just don't know. And they also, some said that the ones that were here that were staying could be angry, and they may shred you like hamburger meat. But Cheryl and I, through prayer, we didn't know what the future held, but we just knew we were supposed to stay. And so we stepped out in faith, and then the blessing came after that. The blessing, because let me tell you, it was totally opposite. I wasn't shredded like hamburger meat. Me and my family were embraced and loved by this church. And it has been one of the greatest blessings of my life to be here. So sometimes there's not a clear direction like this is sinful and this is not sinful. Sometimes you just have to, we had a peace that we were supposed to step out and do that in faith. Okay. So, if you run into those situations, those questions, those decisions to be made or actions to be taken that are neither sinful or you know, neither good nor bad, what do you do? Well, I'm going to give us four questions that we might consider when we're in those situations. To make a godly decision, first of all, ask yourself, will the action be helpful? Will the action be helpful? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6:12, everything is permissible for me, and he's talking about our freedom that we have in Christ. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. I want that to soak in for just a second. Many of us have read that scripture before. And he says it again. He repeats that. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. So in that one verse, 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul kind of gives us two tests to guide our decisions. Kind of not everything. Will it make me a better person is the first kind of test. Will it make me a better person? Nothing. Not everything is beneficial, but sometimes, and I'll tell you, going back to my example with the church, I can tell you God has grown me and has blessed me, and I have benefited from walking in faith into that decision to stay and be the pastor here. So, will it make me a better person? Secondly, does it tend to control me, whatever one of the choices I make? Does it tend to control me, or do I control it? So this verse that we're looking at, I will not be mastered by anything. Now, I'm going to use another example. I've used it before, but Early on when I was, this was long before I was pastor here, but Cheryl and I in our early years, it's well documented, we had a pretty rough first 10 years of our marriage. And I was pretty self-absorbed human being. And it was all about me and having fun with my buddies and doing things. And I can remember, I played in, please, golfers, I'm not condemning all the golfers in the thing, but I was consumed with sports and doing things with my buddies, and I got my golf game in every week. I mean, it didn't matter, you know. I guess I would have stopped for a funeral or something, especially mine, but, you know, I got my golf game in, and then if I thought I could get by with it without Cheryl being too mad at me, I'd get a second one in, and then I was playing softball, and I was playing basketball, and I was doing all these different things, and none of those in and of themselves are bad, but it was in control of me. Is this on? I mean, anything that controls, that is in control of your life, you have, besides the Lord himself, you have made a god. You have made an idol of that. And when me and the Lord did some business, this was in 1991, October of 1991, I remember it very well. And when we did some business, I just knew that I've got to rearrange some priorities in my life. And I stopped playing, again, it's not about playing golf, but for me, I stopped doing a lot of the things that were taking away my time from my family and from my beautiful wife. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the Ten Commandments found in Exodus. If it tends to control your life and it's not Christ-based, I would encourage you, don't do that. I would encourage you not to do it. Stop doing it. It's quiet. Am I stepping on toes? I see everybody pulling their toes back under their chair. Secondly, to make a godly decision, ask yourself, does the action bother your conscience? God gives us a conscience. And as I talked about in this passage that we read out of Psalm 119, when he writes the laws on our heart, if you're troubled by, if you're making a decision, if that troubles you, if there's not a peace that comes with that, that's another way of saying it's bothering your conscience. I would encourage you to avoid it. Make the other decision. Because when you are walking with the Lord, even if you're, as I said earlier, even if you're not quite yet to that point of being excited about a decision, if you have peace in the decision, I'd make that one. If one, I used the example, I think, a couple of weeks ago, feeling yucky. That's a very spiritual term, but you can look it up. It's in the Bible. If something makes you feel yucky, and the other one provides peace, I'd probably take that one, because the Lord is speaking to us. 1 Peter 2:16, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. So I think sometimes it says in through Christ has kind of a quickie little theology here. Christ has fulfilled the law, and then when we are in Christ, we are free. We're no longer under the burden of the law. But some people can use that, and I think this is when the Lord's really not done a work in someone. They can use that and go, "Hey, I'm saved. I'm free from the laws like it. Man, I do whatever I feel like doing." Do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. It's what Peter tells us. When Adam and Eve, when they did what they weren't supposed to do, what the one thing God, isn't that something? I love that, because God gives them the run of the place. Do anything you want. Have fun, man. It's all yours. Just don't do this one thing. And they just couldn't help themselves. And guess what? You and I couldn't help ourselves either if we'd have been in the garden. And so when Adam sinned and God comes around and he's looking for him, he can't find him. The Lord says, the Lord God called out to Adam, "Where are you?" Adam's hiding because his sin, the shame of his sin, was upon him. So if it bothers our conscience, if we, and another way to look at it is, if you, whatever decision, whatever action it is that you're trying to decide, if you wouldn't do it in front of the Lord God himself, it's probably a good way to say, nah, that's probably not a good thing. I remember, this was before I was a pastor as well, some, I don't know, 30 years ago. I was playing golf, and back in my golfing days when I played a lot of golf. And we got a new pastor who's now a very dear friend of mine, but at the time he was brand new. I mean, he'd been to church maybe a couple of months. And I, when I played golf, I played with some buddies, and I love them. They're all good guys and all that stuff. But the language was not always spotless in the golf game. And I remember when Craig Curry was my friend, and I remember bringing Craig to play golf with me and my buddies. And here's how I introduced him. This is Craig Curry, our new pastor. This is Craig Curry, our new pastor. What was I saying? Clean up your language, guys. People think I had never heard those words, but it's not true. And I remember Craig he never said anything. To this day, he's never said anything. But he kind of gave me that look like, I know what you're doing, bro. I know what you're doing. We shouldn't have been talking like that. If we wouldn't do it in front of the pastor and you wouldn't do it in front of the Lord, I'd probably not something we ought to do if it bothers our conscience in any way. Thirdly, to make a godly decision, ask yourself, will the action hurt someone? Will the action hurt someone? This is no one in the church, okay, and it was a long time ago. But I remember Cheryl and I, we went out to eat with a couple, several, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago. And we went out to eat with a couple, and the husband was an alcoholic, and the wife, she was constantly, you need stop drinking, do this, and she was constantly on him about that. And we talked, I mean, we had those conversations going to the restaurant, and we get to the restaurant, and lo and behold, man, she orders this big old drink, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, holy cow. Your husband's struggling here. He's struggling. The water line is right here on him. And you're asking him to clean up his act? Help him. Help him. I don't know. That just, again, 25, 30 years ago, and that just really stuck out to me. Her having a drink with dinner, she's not going to hell for that or anything like that, but it's like her husband was struggling. Is this on? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Any action that will cause another person, especially a baby Christian, a new Christian, to struggle and fall back into some sort of sin or struggle in their life, don't do it. Don't use your freedom to become, as it says in 1 Corinthians, to become a stumbling block to the weak. And a stumbling block basically meaning an action that will cause someone else to stumble, cause them to fall back into something that they are trying to avoid. You can fill in the blank. I'm sure y'all are already, the Lord's probably already putting some things in your mind where that would maybe apply to your life. Will the action, even though it may not be a good or bad necessarily, or sinful or not sinful action, will it cause someone else to stumble? Will it hurt someone else? Fourthly, to make a godly decision, ask yourself, is it a loving action? Is it a loving action? In Galatians, it says it this way, you and I, we're called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. It's similar to that other scripture we just read. Rather, serve one another in love. So, I go back to our early marriage. Even things that were not necessarily, quote, sinful, they were not serving my wife and my family. Who were they serving? Me. And everything about Christ and everything about us as followers of Christ is about sacrificial love. 1 John says it this way, we love because he first loved us. He set us the example, and he's called us into that same service. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Our freedom, and when we're looking at the freedom to make decisions, our freedom should never lead to selfishness. If it leads to selfishness, we probably ought to take a step back. So, in every situation, when it's maybe not a particular good or bad decision, ask yourself, will the action be helpful? Does it bother your conscience? Will it hurt someone? And is it a loving thing to do? Answer these four questions, and I really believe in most cases we'll know what to do. The Lord will provide the answer. If you'll bow your heads with me, invite the praise team to come back up. Father, we just want to please you. We pray, God, that you would hide yourself and your word in our heart. Teach us your decrees as we just read the scripture. Guide us into godly decisions in our life. May it never be about us, but about you and loving on your behalf. We need you, Lord. We trust you. Teach us how to walk in obedience, faithful obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. A reminder, at the end of the service, I'll be out in the foyer. Would love to meet our guests. Also, the altar rail is open if you would like to come and pray as we close with this final song. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, what a great day to make that happen. Come and visit with me about that as well. If you would rise.
God sent his Son.
question. Is life worth the living because he lives? No matter what we face, God is calling us to make godly decisions. Seek him with all your heart. Go and tell someone. God bless you. We're dismissed.
Because he lives.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that he loves you. And if you want to make him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.